You're listening to Therapy for Your Money, a podcast about all things money and finance for therapy practice owners. If you want to feel confident and in control of your financial life, then you've come to the right spot. I'm your host, Julie Harris. I'm an accountant and the owner of Green Oak Accounting. My firm specializes in working with private practices across the U.S., and my team and I have worked with hundreds of private practice owners. I'm on a mission to share all the best practices I've learned along the way because I want you to have a profitable private practice. My new book, Profit First for Therapists, is available at most online retailers. You can get it in paperback, audiobook, or ebook as well. Go check it out. Hello there, and welcome to Therapy for Your Money. In today's episode, we are visiting what are all the different types of financial professionals that you might work with or encounter as a business owner. So this is an excerpt from a webinar I did over the summer with Lindsay Bonham. Lindsay is a money coach specifically for therapists in private practice. She is at this point she has retired from her therapy business and all she does is money coaching. And you can find her over at moneynutsandbolts.com. So in the discussion today, Lindsay and I talk about what are the different expectations you can have about your professional, what does each one of them do, so that you can have a better understanding of who you might want to work with and who might be most helpful for you at the current point of your business. Enjoy. First of all, we're going to go over what exactly does your financial professional do, because there's a lot of different titles that you might see. And they're all a little bit different, right? It's kind of like, I always wonder like LPC, LPE, LCPC, right? There's a lot of different professional licenses in the mental health field and they're LCSW, like they're all a little bit different. So I'm going to go over some of the financial professionals you might encounter. A bookkeeper is the keeper of the books. They're usually knowledgeable about bookkeeping. They certainly should be. They may have payroll knowledge. And I say may because not always, right? They may just really do bookkeeping and have some basic like, oh, here's how you run payroll, but may not understand all the payroll tax pieces. Typically, they do not do any kind of tax preparation. And they may or may not understand tax rules or tax consequences, right? So they have a basic understanding again, but they may not know, be able to answer some more complex questions. Like if I buy this large thing, how does that work exactly, right? Is it depreciation? Can you take the expense? Like they might not know all the different pieces. For a bookkeeper, there is no degree or license required, right? So it might be someone who has a community college degree or a high school degree or just learned, you know, on the field. And typically when you're hiring a bookkeeper, you're going to pay them either hourly, monthly, by the project. And that might depend on how they do things or, you know, your preference as well.
Yeah, like I think about it, like the bookkeeper keeps things tidy. They like tidiness. They're tidy folks. And so they're like making sure that everything is like recorded well and that it's all in order. But as you say, like what I'm hearing is they don't have the strategic piece, right? Like that's not what they're there to do. They're not there to help you think through strategy or understand consequences. They're just making sure the things that you've bought have been recorded and the money coming in has been recorded and that everything is accurate.
Yes. Yes. So it's neat and tidy. And they might be able to have a discussion with you on like, what exactly does this mean? But as far as like looking forward or more strategic items, that's typically going to be someone who's more like an accountant. So your accountant definitely should be knowledgeable about taxes, bookkeeping, and payroll, right? That is someone, when we think of like maybe an associate as a bookkeeper, right? This is someone who's basically fully licensed, right? That's usually what how I think of the comparisons. They typically are going to have either an accounting degree or years and years of experience. An accountant may or may not do tax preparation, right? And that's just a personal choice in the sense that they might say, I only work on the accounting side, or sometimes I may only work on the tax side. They both have their complexities. And so you may or may not do both. An accountant is often doing look back accounting. So kind of like a bookkeeper, you're looking at what has happened in the past, right? Like what happened last year? What might it mean for, you know, next quarter, next month, next week? But we're looking back ultimately at the records. And again, they may be paid hourly, monthly, or by project. When you're talking to someone that you're thinking of working with, they will typically tell you like, this is how I do things and this is how you can expect to pay. So an accountant though may hold a CPA, an EA, or no license, right? If they're just, if they're, they have an accounting degree that doesn't necessarily grant a license. And then, so when we think of an accountant, we're kind of building the blocks, right? Building blocks here, bookkeeper, accountant, fractional CFO. So an accountant can also be a fractional CFO, right? A fractional CFO will be an accountant, but an accountant may or may not also be a fractional CFO. And so when we talk about CFO or chief financial officer, we're really thinking of forward looking, right? We're thinking about what are we planning for next year? How do we get there, right? So some of our clients, for example, will come to us and say, I'd like to reach 5 million in revenue next year, or 500,000 or 550,000, right? Whatever that number may be, but like, this is where I'd like to be. And we kind of back into it. I'm like, okay, that sounds wonderful. How can we get there? Is it realistic? What is it going to take? So we might back into it as far as that means you need to add, you know, 50 sessions per month in order, 50 net sessions to get there. Is that doable for your team, right? And just have the discussion. Sometimes the CFO is not necessarily going to have all the answers for you, but they might be able to ask the right questions like, hey, this is what it would take to get there. Can you do this? Is this realistic for your team? They're not the ones going in and actually doing, seeing the clients and doing the work, but they're helping you figure out what it will take. They might help you build a budget or manage a budget and say, hey, this was our forecast. We didn't meet it. What do you think happened, right? And just asking the question again and thinking through like, what would it, where did we miss the mark? Is the forecast too aggressive? Is there something that happened that was unplanned? A CFO is usually someone that you're going to come to when you're thinking about making a big financial decision, something like, I'm thinking of hiring for the very first time, or I want to add a location, or I want to make this large investment. Can I afford it? How can I structure this? What can I do? A CFO will often help identify and measure your financial KPIs or key performance indicators. And so they might say, let's focus on these two this year, right? This is where we need to keep the focus, but they will help you track and measure that. And they're typically going to assist you with identifying the financial goals for the business and scaling the business. So not every practice needs a CFO, but certainly what we see is when there's a practice in a big period of growth where there's really aggressive goals, big goals, like, well, I want to double in size in the next year, a fractional CFO can be really, really helpful in keeping the machine going, right? And helping you stay on track. So when there's a little shiny object coming in over here is like, where you think, oh, maybe I should go do this. They can help bring you back on track. Like, that's not in line with the goals that we've talked about. So they can keep you accountable and on track. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, what would you add for CFOs?
I mean, my words for CFO are big picture and strategic, mm-hmm. right? So they're bringing in that, like, again, the big picture, keeping you to like your bigger vision of where you're going, but also strategic understanding, like, okay, is this then this? Does that even make sense? Is that even possible, right? Because I think sometimes too, with numbers, we can run numbers and they look very beautiful on paper. They look so nice, but it's also helping think about what do these numbers mean? Like, what would it actually mean if you were seeing 30 clients a week? What would your life actually look like? Is that actually sustainable? And so, yeah, I think about that too. It is really bringing that analysis, looking forward and from looking back, being able to make, you know, educated projections forward as to what these numbers actually mean, which is very important because numbers on their own don't actually mean that much.
That's a really good point. A story that's coming to mind as you say that is, and we have a client who I know we've been working with on, like, this is the take home pay that she wants to bring home, right? Based on like, this is what I in my ideal life, I bring home this dollar amount.
Yeah.
And then recently the same practice owner came to us and said, well, I'm really thinking about this big investment. Can I afford it? And the answer is, yes, you can afford it, but this is the goal that has been laid out. If you can afford it, but you will not be reaching, you will have to delay reaching this other goal, right? Which one is more important? Mm-hmm. And so that's an important conversation to have because, like, yes, you can afford it, but right, there's usually a trade-off somewhere. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it does make me think of, there's a podcast really called Afford Anything, which is like, it's like a FIRE podcast, so like financial independence, retire early. And the concept between of afford anything is you can afford anything, but you can't afford everything.
I love that.
You have to make choices to get what we want.
Yes. Like, which trade-off is more important? I love it. Yes. So CFO definitely would be able to answer questions.
And just to go back to that for a sec, Julie, just to clarify. So right now we are talking about different financial professionals who are available. So a fractional CFO, part of it being fractional is they're working with you and they're also working with other folks. Right? This is a service that they're offering, which is, you know, piles onto all those accounting things we just talked
about. Yes, exactly. And for most private practices, you typically can't afford to go hire a CFO, right? Mm-hmm. That they have that as a one full-time person. For most companies, that's $150,000 to a $400,000 position. So it doesn't make sense, but it can make a lot of sense to have a little fraction of that CFO where you're just getting, you know, they're working with a handful of people just mm-hmm. like you, right? So you don't get them exclusively,
yes.
but you do get access to that person with that higher level.
Yes. You get a slice of them.
Yes, a little slice. Payroll service, I'm going to go over this really, really quickly. Just because I like to make this distinction between a payroll service is typically a software that automates everything related to payroll, payments, the filings, the reports, and the compliance. So there is usually a fee for doing this. Sometimes you're also doing this through your accountant or your bookkeeper, right? They may be including this in the fee where they're using a software behind the scenes to do that. But ideally, this software is going to let you know when you are not in compliance. If you have team members, I always recommend using a payroll service or a payroll software to automate all of that because it's so easy to make a mistake and the stakes are so high. It's so expensive. The penalties are so large if you make a mistake. And so it's never, ever worth saving, you know, $50 a month to do this manually. Like this is money well spent. This may or may not be stacked onto you know, what you do with your accountant if you have one.
Okay, so financial coach. So financial coaches help you develop knowledge and skills around money so that you can do many financial tasks on your own. So they coach you in overcoming your own internal obstacles around money, like those mindset, emotional pieces, and help you stay connected with your motivations. And they support you in building habits and systems and understanding your numbers so you can make informed financial decisions. So, you know, the word coach here is key. Like they are helping you to be able to do it yourself as much as is appropriate. I will be very clear. I'm a financial coach and I always suggest folks for accountants, always. And I will sometimes even like debate with my students that they do need an accountant, even if they think they don't. But it's really about like empowering you in as much as it's appropriate for you to be taking care of the financial pieces and the financial responsibility of your business.
Yeah. And Lizzie, I would say financial coach stacks really well with any of the other professionals yes. that we have, yes. we have talked about, right? They're not in competition. They can work really well, mm-hmm. really well together as well.
Yes. They are different things. Definitely like servicing different parts of your business.
Yes. Yes. And a good financial coach or business coach like this can help any business of any size, truly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Next up, we have the Profit First Professional. So this is also, the acronym is PFP. A Profit First Professional is also a type of financial coach, right? A different type of financial coach. Obviously, I wrote the Profit First book, so that's very top of mind for me. So it's possible to just work with a Profit First Professional that is not also an accountant, right? They may or may not be an accountant, but their goal is to be an accountability partner so that you're able to successfully implement. Obviously, their goal is to maximize your profit, right? As the name implies, and they're going to play an active role in your cash flow management. But usually they're not doing all the things for you. They're probably not doing the bookkeeping or doing the accounting where they're just helping you stay accountable. Like, hey, it's transfer day. Are you doing your transfers today? How's it looking? Right. And help you make adjustments as needed. An accountant can also be a profit first professional, but a profit first professional is not necessarily an accountant, right? So they may be a coach, like there are, for example, dentists that are profit first professionals for other dentists where they use the system, they love it, they're wonderful at it, but that does not make them a tax expert, right? So it's good to know kind of where that limitation is. And then this is the last financial professional we'll cover today. We have a financial planner, right? So this is kind of adjacent to accounting where we typically don't do as accountants anything that the financial planner does and vice versa. We know about what each other does. But we don't, there is no crossover there. So your financial planner is typically the one who's going to manage the investment. They may recommend investments. They're going to recommend personal insurance products like life insurance, disability insurance, right? All the things that you may need as someone who's self-employed. They're going to help you plan for your retirement needs. So they may help you look at what will you need in retirement? How do we back into, you know, how much do you need to be investing now? On occasion, an accountant will be a financial planner. This is pretty rare. It is fairly rare, though. So usually you're going to get referred out. What an accountant might say is it would be tax advantageous for you to do this type of retirement, for example, right? For example, 401k. And then you would go to your financial advisor and say, accountant recommended a 401k. What should I open? How would I invest the funds that are in that 401k, right? That is kind of how that division of power would happen.
I won't go too far into this stuff. This is a different journey, yes, different path. But it is important to know that some financial planners or advisors are fee for service, and their whole thing is just about, you know, giving you the best possible advice that they can. Where many others are selling you products, right? So it's helpful for you to understand if you do decide, and I think everybody ultimately should work with a financial planner, to ask them very transparently from the beginning, how do you get paid? Right? Is it fee for service? Am I paying you, you know, $2,000 for you to make this big plan for me and that's it? And you're just going to tell me, you know, to get insurance, but you're not going to try to sell me certain insurance? Or do you actually make money from, you know, holding my money? You know, you get a certain percentage of what I invest with you. Are you selling certain products? Are you selling mutual funds or insurance? Because that does bring some complexity into the picture. And it's not to say that folks selling products can't still sell you good products, but it does mean that they are going to be limited in what they can offer you. And mm-hmm. So definitely, before you work with somebody like that, really understand exactly how they're making money. And that'll help to inform, you know, the information you get from them, to just be critical and make sure that you're getting the products that you can.
Great point. Because sometimes if someone works for a specific company, they can only sell the products mm-hmm. of that company.
Yeah.
Right. And we always hope that they have your best interest in mind, but they may sell you also the product that makes them the big commission,
yes.
the biggest commission. That does unfortunately happen.
Absolutely. Or just the best product they have, but that's not as good as mm. you doing your own investing. So, which is, again, this is why I'm like, this is a whole other world.
Yeah, like we could do a whole hour just on
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. And it's not what either of us do, to be clear. But I guess it's a little bit of like a little buyer beware. Just make sure you know how the person you're working with is getting paid.
Very good point. I'm glad you went down that little detour.
Just a little caveat.
I want to make the distinction between a tax accountant versus a monthly accountant, because there's sometimes some confusion here, right? Of like, oh, I have a tax person, I have a tax guy. So like they're handling all of this. When you have a tax person and you've worked with them just to do tax, they definitely are preparing your tax return. They're going to advise you on tax issues as needed. Typically, they're going to provide your year-end adjustments, right? If anything is needed for your books, sometimes your quarterly estimated tax payments, if you have them, but they're typically not touching your bookkeeping, right? You're giving that to them and they're assuming that it's correct, unless it is glaringly incorrect, right? But they're not hired to go and do that. And there's a really good chance that they're not thinking of you outside of tax season, right? So they're not most often not going to reach out to you in August and say, just checking in, how are things going? Like if you are not, you know, actively working with them for tax season, you will never cross their mind until it's tax season again. And I'm not saying tax accountant or monthly accountant, neither one is good or bad. I just want you to know kind of what you're getting into so that to manage that expectation and the relationship as well. A monthly accountant, right, typically they're going to be involved in your books. If it's not doing it, they're reviewing it. They're going to provide monthly reports. They're going to notice trends, discuss changes, advise on tax issues as things come up, right? Because you have that ongoing relationship with them. And they have an ongoing relationship with the business. So whether they're looking once a quarter, once a month, they are in there with you, and they're just going to know more about your business. And a monthly accountant may or may not do tax prep, right? So it kind of depends. Both are options, and you can also have both, and they can coexist together. But if you're working with a tax accountant and you need something, you're going to need to proactively reach out to them to say, hey, I have this question about this, right? They're not just, you know, there's usually not just a meeting coming up right around the corner. If you're looking for accounting help, head over to therapyforyourmoney.com/accounting to find information about my accounting firm and all of our specialized services just for private practice owners. If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes, click on ratings and reviews, and give us a quick shout out. We really appreciate it.
The information contained in this podcast represents the host and guest's general opinions and should not be construed as personalized accounting and tax advice. Listeners should consider all facts and circumstances before applying this information and seek appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional. Any info provided does not constitute accounting, tax, or legal advice.